stop, stop, stop. I can't take it anymore.
Oh, I do the live one too.
Yes, I know. I saw your act in the theater. You're really quite good.
Hello and welcome. We are breaking up with RBS. This is episode number 12. I'm Johnny Santabria.
I'm JDK Winnikin. And we're here to debunk some junk. thanks for joining us again.
I was so excited that I got the number right and then I lost my train of thought.
Well, that's okay. Yeah. You got to hit these marks one at a time.
Right.
Right. Yes. So the goal accomplished, moving on to the next one.
I feel good.
Mm-hmm. Good. That's good. How are you doing? How was your week?
My week was busy, good, lots of fun stuff over the weekend. So
that's good. Yeah, same for me. I've been noticing that time for me has just been sort of flowing of late. So
nice. Yeah,
it's interesting. So okay, well, welcome to everybody to episode 12. Welcome to everybody.
Welcome to everybody. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's a way to do it.
We're just tripping all over things. thanks for coming back and joining us again. If you're listening on live this morning, good morning. Otherwise, you can catch this as a podcast on your favorite platform. You can watch the video feed of this and watch us be goofy, see what this actually looks like to stumble over our words on video. At our YouTube channel, just look up Breaking Up With RBS, spell out the word, and you'll find it. You can also join our Facebook group under the same title, Breaking Up With RBS, and get some stuff in between and give feedback on what you're hearing here, ask questions, that type of thing. And since last time we had some feedback.
Yes.
Didn't we?
Yes. I love all the feedback. We get a lot of feedback.
We do. It's great. And it's nice to know that a lot of this resonates.
Mm-hmm.
It's also, we were made aware of something pretty important since last time.
Yes.
So.
Yes. Well, because people relate to what we're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And so they may sometimes have different feelings about what we're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And we just thought it might be helpful to be really clear around anything that we talk about is really us being curious also speaking from our own experiences, but then also no judgment. Like, not that there's a right way to do things. Like, there's just this possible other way that might take some pressure off if we choose to explore it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of like reverse engineering some of our assumptions or our the things that we build our views around things on, just kind of examining them, just for the sake of examining them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the idea of maybe there's a better word for something. Well, we spent a lot of time on that, right? People pointed that out.
Yes.
That we take words like trust and authenticity and other things and we sort of break them up and say, maybe this word is better, maybe this one is.
Yeah, there's stories around all of them.
It can be, right?
Yeah, and there's a lot of like just sort of taken for granted ideas and beliefs about things.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we've never really sat down and thought, let's dive in and really kind of dissect this a little bit.
Absolutely. And there's times too that, I mean, it's not like you and I are experts but somehow we don't do that. We do, but that's what we're talking about. so for those of you listening, sometimes it's in real time what we're doing. Like, we have an idea of what we want to talk about when we come in here.
Yes.
But a lot of this gets done in real time, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're examining it as much as you might be as you're listening to it. So we just wanted to be clear about that. We're not trying to pull the rug out from under anybody.
No. Just trying to help where we might be able to offer some help, different ways, maybe a new perspective, maybe not, maybe something that triggers something, but then just gives you an opportunity. You, myself, an opportunity, JD, you're an opportunity for you or anybody else who's listening just to kind of dive in a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. And a safe space to do it.
Yeah.
Right. And certainly, to examine things, is always good. So anyway, so based on the feedback we got, we wanted to be clear about that right at the outset.
Absolutely. So just stick with us all the way through.
Yeah. Stick with us. Like if you're wondering on something, just stay with us and there'll be hopefully a payoff at the end. And certainly if there's anything that we haven't covered or you're wondering about, reach out to us and we'd be happy to talk about it. So,
So what are we talking about today?
Well, last time we were talking about needing to know what's coming next. That was a really good conversation.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot
fun
to that. Mm-hmm. And, based on not just feedback, like we just mentioned, but also just kind of thinking afterwards, this thought about there's almost, for me at least, as I shared last time, knowing what's coming next was a really chronic problem. Like it was a constant. I didn't even know it was a problem. Mm-hmm. But there was a second part to that that comes out of that, that I could take anything happening in the moment, usually something difficult, and turn that into the harbinger of doom for everything that was going to follow. So something difficult that happened in the present, hearing something I didn't want to hear, the ending of a relationship, trouble at work, or some issue in the family, I could turn into, okay, because this happened, the entire course of what was supposed to happen is now going to change.
Right.
It's, I guess, catastrophizing is the right word?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
That is.
That's the second part. And I know that there are people who relate to this, who listen to this show. You can take those difficult things and turn them into a disaster, or the other way, something good. This means my luck has changed, or, you know, it's all gravy now, or wow, things are looking up. And then, you know, when something difficult happens, it's like getting punched in the stomach, right? Again, yes. Stories both directions, as we talked about last time. So I'm wondering if, is that something that you see a lot, that catastrophizing, taking a moment and turning it into something with a story bigger than it is?
Yes, it's protective in nature.
Right.
Sort of like if I can prepare myself for this doom and gloom, at least I'll know how to manage. And did you ever really, were you ever really prepared when you were doom and glooming?
Never.
Never, yeah.
Never.
Okay, so it never really worked.
No, it doesn't work. And really what it would do is, because it never happened the way I thought it would, right?
Right.
Right. You build. I could build up 6 or 7 different scenarios. Again, good or bad. And I can't remember one time where I went, there it is. I got it. That's exactly what happened. I predicted it. I knew it. Blah, 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 blah. Never. Not the way, not at least the exact way that I expected. No.
Yeah.
In fact, I just made myself miserable the entire time. And more often than not, there was no outcome like it, good or bad. Life just continued.
Yeah. And part of that is just creating all of those can be stimulating. Right. So sometimes if we tend to be an overthinker anyway, or perfectionist, or an overanalyzer, or needing to know what comes next, right? We're in this thinking mode constantly. So we'll come up with something else and something else and something else, or this, or how bad it's going to be, or how to keep it from getting how bad it's going to be. But all of that's very stimulating too. So we get hooked. We can be hooked on the stimulating factor.
Oh man.
Also. All right. So we could be feeling like, oh, well, I'm not completely miserable that I've come up with these 6 or 7 things that may or may not happen, right? I don't feel terrible.
Right.
It does give you something to do, but it doesn't allow you to be present in the moment and sort of connected and soft in your body. You're tense and contracted, right? And protected and kidding and in the past or the future.
And not really showing up for whatever might be around me.
No, not at all.
You know, other people, job, interests in life, self-care.
Joy.
Joy. Yeah. I mean, it's, I could go full internal.
Yeah.
Deeply into my mind, deeply into my body without recognizing that I was doing that.
Right.
Not in a good way.
No. And then you're in your fight or flight.
Totally.
Or your freeze. And so you're revving up the body too. So you might feel energized, kind of, sort of, but it takes a toll.
It does. And I, talking about the body in that regard, I don't know if everybody's different, you would know better than I would, but for me, I would curl up. Like I'd hunch up my shoulders, my legs would end up getting pulled up, or I'd, you know, lay on my side and pull up, you know, in bed or whatever, just kind of making myself
more of the freeze.
Small.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mobilized.
Yeah. Mobilized. Yeah. And just, and pulling in. And man, just talking about it, I can feel it. Feel it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting. So that catastrophizing for me was a real issue connected with needing to know what's happening next. And so if I didn't know what was going to happen next, I wanted to come up with six or seven or however many scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with that is that then I'd be like, okay, how do I react to each one of those?
Right.
You know, and it reminds me of two things. The first thing it reminds me of is when I was doing dissertation work overseas in foreign countries and in Germany in particular. And my German's okay, but I would go places and I knew I needed to buy a roasted chicken or something like that for mm-hmm. dinner. And so I'd come up with, I'd create three sentences, like three things I needed to say. And then I'd come up with four possible responses that the person could give me in German. And then I'd be able to respond to that. Not once in months over there did anybody respond with one of my pre-prepared questions.
Not even for something so well thought out and planned and needed, and maybe needed even, right? Not even for that.
Not even for that. Oh. And it was just, it sort of reminds me of that. And so, you know, all the preparation when all I needed was just a chicken, right? Just, you know, and in Germany, a lot of people know English. So, you know, it's not a disaster, right? Yeah. If you don't get it right. So that reminds me of one of those, all that preparation for nothing, waste of time.
Yeah, totally.
The other thing it reminds me of is that scene in When Harry Met Sally back in 1987, mm-hmm. when Billy Crystal's character says he reads the last page of the book first.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So that if he dies before the end, he yes. knows how it ends. And and Sally says to him, well, in the meantime, like he just says, all I know is just when everything goes down, I'll be better prepared for it and you won't. And she says, and in the meantime, you ruin the rest of your life waiting for it.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. It's a good point. Right.
Excellent point.
Yeah, for them. That's what it reminds me of, those two things.
And how much could we have, if we would have just internalized that?
Right.
At the time. I mean, that was a while back.
A while back, 1987. I believe.
Yeah.
I know.
Wow. Wow.
I just feel really old saying that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Well, we're both really old.
Well, you know, yeah.
Whatever.
Older than some.
Wiser.
Wiser. More present.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
So with that, how do you take apart mm-hmm. that catastrophizing? Like, what are some mm-hmm. some key things with that to in terms of recognizing that? Softening, certainly, as we've talked about, mm-hmm. helps reduce that. But what comes to mind for you with all that?
Yeah, that's such a complicated one in a lot of ways because, mm. again, the stimulation piece is part of it. Like, what else do I do if I don't anticipate?
Yeah.
I need to anticipate. Like, what else do I do?
It's true.
Right? So there is that part. Like, so the first step is really noticing, oh, this has happened. Am I here right now? Am I in catastrophe land?
Mm-hmm. Do I feel like I have to do something?
Right.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, just preparing for. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know how many times I've heard clients say to me, like, well, if I know how bad it can be, then I'm not going to be disappointed. Also, like, I'm, if it doesn't.
That's such a BS story.
Right.
That's such BS because that never helps.
Right.
You're still going to be disappointed.
If you're going if it's a disappointing thing that comes next, you're going to be disappointed. I mean, like, that's just, but we don't need to prepare for that necessarily. Right. We're just going to, if we're present, if we're here, mm-hmm. we're just going to experience it and mm-hmm. we're probably going to be okay.
Oh, yeah.
Right. It's the anticipatory stuff.
Ugh.
It's the, you know, the expectations. We talked about expectations last time.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And it's like I compared it before to like throwing gasoline on a fire
mm-hmm.
when you think it's water. Like you yes. think that anticipating yeah. things are going to help.
Yes.
But they don't.
No, they just get you revved up. Gosh. Heart rate increases.
Oh, yeah.
You don't get enough sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You may be emotionally eating.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You're not moving as much, yep. perhaps. Mm-hmm. So lots of things are happening to your system.
Yeah.
That's not in its benefit
mm-hmm.
when you've got to anticipate all the things all the time from a headspace.
Right. Or you're protecting yourself, right?
Well, it is protection. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah. Because it can be both what do I do next? And it could also be what do I prevent next? Mm-hmm. You know, so like where do I go?
Mm-hmm.
What do I block?
Mm-hmm.
You know, yep. as if somehow, and that's the thing. If that sounds like a fight, mm-hmm. flight, what we're talking about is just putting your dukes down.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which freaks people out. It was weird for me at first
mm-hmm.
because what you said about anticipating,
mm-hmm.
like, what am I going to do with myself if I'm not anticipating next? I'm going to be caught unawares. I'm going to be caught unprepared. I'm not going to think this through. It's not going to go where I want it to go.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that headspace
Yes.
Piece.
Yes.
You know, I had to learn that I kind of knew internally, body wise.
Right. Remember, we've got those three areas of ourselves mm-hmm. that gather information, or that we have this sort of like in and outness, mm-hmm. but with our intuition in our gut, belly mm-hmm. area, our heart, mm-hmm. where we connect with other people, and then our thinking space. Right. Yeah. Like we've got all three of these things working at once. And when we're hopefully. Well, that's what we're working on.
That's what we're working on.
And when we've got all of those things working together, yeah. we already know, we will know what happens next when next happens.
Ooh.
We will know. That just came.
Wow, that was good.
Wow, thank you.
That was good. I wish I had one of those big giant post-it notes we could put out here and yeah. just write that on there and stick it up on the back.
Well, we'll know because we've got our full self on board.
Yeah.
We won't know if we've only got our thinking space on board.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be missing out on a ton of information about what life needs from us right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because making all those choices from a headspace eliminates
connection,
and it eliminates all the possibilities of what might happen, none of which you can really anticipate anyway.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, my inner storyteller is so full of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just. Well, it doesn't do me any good at all.
It's there to protect you.
Sure.
Right? And remember, we're connected to ourselves in the seat, the belly area. We're connected to others in the heart area. The thinking space is not about connection. It helps support us in connection.
Mm-hmm.
Left on its own, it's going to disconnect you because it's trying to protect you.
Right.
So we never want it to be on its own.
Man,
dangerous.
Mine was on its own. Danger, Will Robinson. Sorry, I was watching Lost in Space last week. So, that's an interesting idea. If you unplug something from its, you know, from its mm-hmm. source, from the outlet, mm-hmm. runs on battery for a while. Eventually, it's going to run out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally. Just going to be depleted.
Yeah. It's and my experience has been exactly that. That. When I stop with the BS stories, when I soften, mm-hmm. when I feel that safety system, mm-hmm. it's not as if those questions all get answered about what's going to happen next or how do I prepare. They just don't really matter as questions. Mm-hmm. They just aren't really asked mm-hmm. because they don't need to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I sometimes struggle for analogies. Again, we're kind of getting to the, you know, in some ways you want to experience this, even if it's just a little taste, right? That, mm-hmm. like I said last time, that little salty, a little sweet, that's all you need to know that what those things taste like.
Mm-hmm.
I struggle to find analogies to explain it.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it feels like the difference between being hungry and being full.
Yeah.
You know, when you're full, you're no longer asking yourself the question of what I need to eat,
mm-hmm.
if that makes sense.
Right.
Or is that too weird?
I'm not sure. One thing that comes to mind.
See, I'm just teeing things up for you. You're the one who knows this.
But one thing that comes to mind that I talk to parents a lot about.
Oh.
As an example.
Okay.
And is like when it's, they see other kids, it's the beginning of the school year, you know, it's time to go to kindergarten and maybe they have a 2-year-old. And they're thinking, how am I going to let Johnny go to school? What am I going to do?
Mm-hmm.
How am I going to be ready for that?
Mm-hmm. Right?
Well, at 2, you're not.
Right.
So you don't even need to know how.
Right.
Right. Like at 5 or 4.5 or 4, early K, you know, all kinds mm-hmm. of all kinds of options out there.
Yeah.
When you're ready, you're ready.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So we don't have to consider and worry about when we're sending our elementary school student off to kindergarten, how we're going to do it when they're in high school.
Right.
We don't even need to think about that, right? So that I think about moment-to-moment awareness is that saying, like, I don't need to know 10 seconds from now. It's going to show up, and I'm going to be ready for 10 seconds from now.
Oh, man, I wonder how parents are reacting to this. I really
I'll be
am.
Ready.
I really am.
And that's what's so great about it is that you will be ready. I haven't had a parent like not on some level, like ready.
For when those moments
come. For when those moments come.
Yeah. Whether they've worried about it in advance or not. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, they're just ready.
Yeah. It's kind of a good thing that, you know, when a baby comes home from the hospital, it's not moving very much. It's not doing very much. It's like you get the beginner kit, right? It's mm-hmm. contained, it's small. You do what yes. you can. You don't have to worry about how's it going to be when they're crawling or you no. could.
Right.
But what would be the point of that?
You miss out
right.
on what's actually happening right now.
Right. You miss out on all those important cues of that child's development
mm-hmm.
that you're going to want to see and you're going to want to notice, mm-hmm. like, you know, and all those types of things. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Boy, nothing will get you present like a baby, I guess, in that sense.
Totally.
You know?
Yes. I have a grandbaby.
Oh, yes. I know you do.
I think everybody knows I do because I can't stop taking pictures oh and putting them on, you know, social media. But and my phone's loaded. I'm going to really be able to test whether or not there's a limit of pictures between my dog and my grandbaby.
Oh, man,
right?
No doubt.
But yeah, talk about being present.
It's true.
We could learn a lot from babies.
That's true. And dogs.
Yeah.
Both really present.
It's great.
Yeah. Yeah. Because that makes sense because then if, and I know plenty of parents, I'm not one myself, but I know plenty of parents who do worry about that. Like when, you know, they'll be saying, oh, I sent my kid off to kindergarten. And then inevitably someone somewhere in the circle says, oh, can you imagine what it's going to be like when they go to college?
Right.
Whoa. Slow down.
Why? Why?
Why? Why worry about it?
We don't need to think
it's going to show up.
Yeah, right? It's going to show up.
It's going to show up. And I guess that certainly I would think that with parenting in particular, we've talked a lot about one-on-one relationships, friendships, mm-hmm. romantic ones. Mm-hmm. With parenting, wow, that is a field ripe mm-hmm. for storytelling.
Yes. Right? Oh, yeah. Lots of BS parenthood stories.
Yeah.
For
and,
sure.
And then also reinforcing them.
Yeah. Oh, right. Because we're in this together.
We're in this together. Like, yeah, like parent, like, you know, and I wonder sometimes how much I've done that in various circles in my life where I've had BS stories like you were just talking about catastrophizing or whatever. Mm-hmm. And in the process of talking with people about them, mm-hmm. hoping to be heard, hoping to connect.
Yes.
Those stories just get reinforced. Somebody can say, yeah, I understand why you feel that way. Okay, great. I feel seen. I feel heard. But it's all around maybe a BS story.
Right. And how do you know what's a BS story and what to, you know what I mean? Like that,
yeah.
it's a little challenging, but
it's gotta be,
but it feels good to be validated.
Sure.
Right. It feels good to be heard and understood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Those aren't bad things, but I guess maybe if you're coming from a place of presence,
yes,
to be able to say to someone, you know what, I have this story in my head. I find myself moving forward. Like I just sent Johnny off to kindergarten and mm-hmm. I'm having this emotional response to when he goes to college.
Yes.
I am way ahead of things. Mm-hmm. Obviously I'm feeling some fear. I'm wondering what that's about. Then you can actually, you know, somebody can say, yeah, I get that. I've done that before. Or, you know, it sounds like maybe you're afraid of what it's going to mean when mm-hmm. Johnny's off to school and mm-hmm. you're not doing parenting like you're doing now.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yes.
That is, what does that mean for you?
Yes. Yes.
Right.
So the more we help folks notice their stories,
yeah.
when we're in conversation about all of our stories,
mm-hmm.
we're going to be able to help each other out a little bit better instead yeah. of just supporting and validating and saying, yes, me too.
Yeah.
Right? We might actually be able to
help them diffuse things.
Yeah.
I've seen it so many times and I've done it myself where I know somebody is struggling with something or is amped up about something or catastrophizing, talks to their most trusted friends.
Yes.
Feels validated, mm-hmm. but they don't feel any better mm-hmm. when it's done. Like it didn't take care of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's, and I sometimes think that, and I've done this before too, thinking that if I just vomit out all my stuff,
yeah. mm-hmm.
that I'll feel better.
Yeah.
Right. That, or that'll take care of the problem. Okay. If I just confess all this or just admit all this, you know, and it raises some questions about, you know, that for its own sake
mm-hmm.
only goes so far, particularly if you're not connected to yourself or not connected
yeah,
to
yeah.
the moment.
Yeah, Yeah. You might have tired yourself out a little bit, so maybe you're ready for a nap. I don't know.
And tired out your friends. You just,
right. Everybody's ready for a nap after that.
Oh my gosh, I just talked to so-and-so.
But I love this parenthood thing. I want to talk more about this parenthood thing.
Okay, go with it.
Yeah, I don't know how much are we...
Oh, we're getting close.
We're getting close. We might have to save this for...
I think this is good, actually. I don't have direct experience being a parent, but I have been parented. So
you have your own unique experience.
I have my own unique experience. Mm-hmm. That's right. And certainly I've in my career life I've worked with kids and I worked in education for a long time.
Yes. So you've talked to a lot of parents.
I have talked to a lot of parents. And I admire parents. I don't, not being one, I don't know how y'all do it on some level. I don't know how y'all do it.
Yeah, it's rough, and you just
But beautiful too.
Oh,
it seems
yeah.
Like. Yeah, all those things.
All the things.
All those things. You know, but I can imagine because it's such a profound experience, human experience, and it involves, children that are either directly created by you or you are responsible for raising. Mm-hmm. That is. Wow. A lot of stories in that area. Probably more so than most areas of life, I would think.
Yeah. It's, long term.
Yeah.
You're learning and growing together.
Yeah.
And creating stories.
All right. Well, then next time let's pick up with this. So we'll talk more about parenting next time. So, wow, this was great.
Awesome. Yeah.
All right. Well, we stumbled at the beginning, but we figured it out.
So, I knew we would.
We would.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No worries.
Well, thank you for joining us, all of you, for this episode of Breaking Up With Our BS. Next time, we'll talk more about parenting. Anything you want them to do in the meantime, between now and next time?
Again, notice the BS stories.
Yeah.
Notice and soften.
All right. And we'll see you all next time. I'm JDK Winneken.
I'm Tawny Santabria.
Take care. We'll see you next time.
Oh, I do the live one too.
Yes, I know. I saw your act in the theater. You're really quite good.
Quite a certain harmful habit.
Now I'm leaving.
Yeah. I don't think he felt anything after the crash.
Who's that engineer?
Yeah. I'm in my groove. Here we go.